Let's start with healthcare after a lifetime in prison. Getting out of jail, there's often a pretty big to-do list. Get a job, stay sober, make up for missed birthdays, reconnect with families, maybe figure out how to use a smartphone. But people who help ex-felons with that transition say healthcare needs to be a priority. Tanya English reports.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. My name is Darrell Conquest.
How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself? Yes, I do.
Darrell Conquest is just out of prison, and after 40 years inside, everything feels new.
I can't really put my finger on one simple thing. Technology, traffic, people, movement, being out after dark, seeing the stars.
Conquest is 65 now. He's tall and slim, and he has some natural gray and a little bit of orange henna coloring the fringe of his beard. He wears a kufi, the prayer cap many older Muslim men wear, and he has a chunky plastic watch that you might see on a much younger man. Even picking out his own clothes is a freedom to celebrate. So when he arrived at the health clinic and there was a glitch in his insurance paperwork, Conquest is patient and happy to be the one responsible for figuring it all out.
On your care plan, you have Part B that's active, but not A. So you might want to call Social Security and find out why you don't have Part A that's active. Okay?
Will do. Thank you. This is the first time I ever paid a copay today.
In 1975, Conquest stabbed and killed two people, a man and an eighth grade girl. He was 25 and an addict.
Heroin. I was a heroin user. At that time in my life, I was just all over the place. I was committing robberies. I used to travel up and down the East Coast just robbing people. I used to go to Washington, New York, Philadelphia.
He expected to be in prison for the rest of his life. And he says he thought, that's it.
My number was 58068. Yeah, that was my prison number, 58068.
But last fall, Conquest was paroled. The reentry experts at the transition home where he lives say they never used to talk about health care.
We talked about people getting jobs and people paying fines and people participating in treatment groups. And now we are paying attention to it.
Pat McKernan is an executive with Volunteers of America, which operates residential programs. She's done social work with ex-felons for two decades, but says in recent years, former prisoners are older and sicker. Even younger people often have pent-up health needs.
For people who are coming off opiates or what have you, everything hurts. You know, that's when they start recognizing, I have an abscessed tooth. And you can't sit in group with an abscessed tooth, and you have to get those things taken care of.
The counselors know a local dentist who accepts Medicaid, and they send clients to a federally funded healthcare center in the neighborhood. They also help ex-felons build a legitimate paper trail to prove they qualify for benefits.
I may never have had a driver's license, and I may not have ever known where my birth certificate is, and I might have multiple Social Security cards. So having real identification for who I really am can be a challenge.
Because identification is such a problem, several states are working to sign people up for Medicaid while they're still locked up. When you're incarcerated, there's no question about who you are. So Illinois, for example, uses fingerprints to verify that an inmate is eligible for Medicaid.
Are you here for your, from the x-ray results?
Right.
For that? Okay.
Exactly.
In New Jersey, where Darrell Conquest served his time, the Department of Corrections gets Medicaid enrollment started in the weeks before a prisoner is scheduled to be released. That makes the transition smoother. And when Conquest had pneumonia a few weeks back, he got care at the Project Hope Health Center in Camden.
Have a seat. This goes on your fingers for your pulse and your, and across your forehead.
The clinic has application counselors, but social worker James Comstock says in recent years, when ex-prisoners show up, often their paperwork is already in order. At that point, his job is to walk them through the routine headaches that come with health care.
Well, now you're back in the community and you have to get an appointment.
Meaning the two-week wait is kind of a shock to them.
Exactly. There's a fear when you come out. You know, how am I going to get this taken care of?
The health center provides HIV testing. The clinicians can prescribe the medicine that can help you kick a drug habit, and you can pick up condoms.
So maybe the first time they've had a sex ed conversation in a long time?
Professional one, yes. Okay.
Across the state line at a halfway house in Philadelphia, Tara Novelli is restarting her life.
Tara! Come on!
Oh,
I'm like 5'4". I dyed my hair red, olive skin, brown eyes. I'm from South Philly. I'm Italian.
She's just 50 days sober, so Novelli keeps a strict schedule to stay on track. There are Narcotics Anonymous meetings and chores.
Tonight is Thursday, so we're actually eating dinner now. And I believe we have two groups tonight. I believe we have a Bible study at another group.
In 2014, heroin, crack, and a prostitution charge sent her to jail for 7 months. On the inside, she got medicine for her depression and anxiety. And she's not the only one. About two-thirds of women in the Philadelphia County lockup are on some kind of behavioral health drug. When inmates leave jail, they're supposed to get 5 days of medicine to take with them. But Novelli says she left empty-handed, and she wasn't enrolled in Medicaid.
Mm-mm. I didn't get to home with anything.
How long do you think you waited before you had your medication?
I would say about 2 months it took.
She managed just fine for a while, but a few months later, Novelli had a relapse and landed back in rehab. She doesn't think it mattered much that she didn't have health coverage immediately, but that's the worry. Kriya Patel says when you're just out, scrambling to make good decisions, being off your meds lowers the chance that you'll be successful.
Do you need to find housing? You need to find a job. When are you going to find the time to sit down in front of a computer or travel to an office and actually fill out paperwork?
Patel is a college senior. She first visited the county jail in Philadelphia as part of a women and incarceration class at the University of Pennsylvania. This year, she won a $100,000 prize from her school to help female inmates fill out medical assistance paperwork.
The online application is a bit easier than the paper application, so people are rewarded for basic computer literacy.
Some inmates don't have those computer skills, but Patel says her team will help. At the state level, Pennsylvania just launched a similar pilot program at one of its men's prisons. Secretary of the Department of Human Services Ted Dallas says the goal is to help people avoid another trip through the system.
Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, I think in the last 5 or 10 years, folks have come to grips with this is smart policy.
Nationwide, about 600,000 people return from prison each year. There's a slogan that reentry advocates repeat all the time. They are coming home. And those ex-felons returning to the community are more likely than other people to use emergency rooms, more likely to have a string of illnesses, including hepatitis, HIV, high blood pressure, and asthma. For The Pulse, I'm Tanya English.